Specifically made for our ministry. Two of our spiritual kids made that specifically for our ministry because there is no more. You won't go back to your past. You won't go back to your problems. You won't go back to your issues. There is no more in your life. Praise God. We so thank God because this day, man, I tell you, is going to be a powerful day on today. We have someone that is with us on today, Dr. Daryl Barnett. Man, I tell you, when I first met this young man, at our pastor's church there, and he was talking, man, on relationships. But actually, I had stepped out to go use the restroom, and when I got back in, my wife was so hyped, and she was like, "Oh, you missed some stuff. You missed some." I was like, "Oh, okay." And just hearing the words coming from this powerful man of God, it so inspired me and my wife in our relationship. So I wanted to have him on today because I know that there is a word in his mouth, and I want to give him as much time as he needs to just share some things with you on what God is saying. Because listen, people of God, relationships in the church is being challenged. Right now, relationships are being challenged. Marriages are being challenged. We have such a high divorce rate in the church. That needs to change. And this young man, I tell you, is going to give you some information. So if you're with us on today, you're in the right place at the right time. You need to get your pen and your pad. And listen, you can call in and interact with us. You can ask questions. The number is on your screen. If you're on our website, it's right there, 563-999-3789. Praise God. But let's bring our guest in here. Good morning, Dr. Daryl Barnett. How are you this morning, sir?
Blessings to you, Apostle. It's privilege to be here with you.
Amen. You know, amen. I am so honored to have you with us on this morning. And I tell you, you know, I know that God is going to speak to some couples and some even folks that are looking to get married. You know, I know God is going to speak a word to them. So people of God, without further ado, I'm bringing to you right now today, Dr. Daryl Barnett. Praise God. Come on, everyone, just give him a hand this morning.
Amen. Glory be to God. Well, this is an awesome opportunity just to speak to anybody about marriage and relationship. I always say that if you're in the earth realm, you're in a relationship. You are mother, father, sister, brother, pastor, a minister. You have co-workers and whatnot through male-female relationships. And I'm saying it like that because the information that I want to share with you today, and of course we can exchange and ask questions, what have you. But just to give you a little foundation of what I want to share today, that, you know, Genesis chapter 1, 26, and then again 28, all through the Bible. But the baseline is that we are created in his image and after his likeness to have dominion. And we are unique in as much as God is three in one, that we are three in one. When I say God three in one, I don't know the background of all of your listeners, but everything that I say will be biblically based. They call me Dr. Daryl Barnett, but it's also Pastor Daryl Barnett. And everything that I share on marriage and relationship, I use the Word of God as the foundation, absolutely. And so with God three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, he gives us those identities that represent the one true God so that we can embrace and know all of him. We know one vantage point of God through God the Father, one through God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I know this isn't a Bible class with that regard this morning, but if we're talking about mankind, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a physical body. And that's very important when we're talking about relationships because I communicate on all three planes and all three arenas. Just like knowing God in those his different personalities helps us to know him, knowing mankind or womankind, if I can say it like that, in those three arenas really helps us to understand who we are engaging or who we're working with. From this perspective, I am a spirit. That means that I hear. I hear in the spiritual realm. It's kind of funny. When I talk to people, they usually talk from the realm of the soul. And, you know, I'm a teacher, so please endure my definitions of everything. But my soul consists of my mind, my will, my emotions, my imagination, and my intellect. And you can hear many preachers say that. And if this was that class, I would justify it with scripture. But also, I am a spirit. My Heavenly Father is a spirit and has created me to be a spirit that I can connect and live with him. We know the whole garden incident where man was disconnected from God, but thank God we've been reconnected through our relationship with Jesus Christ. However, I hear God, and I hear in the spirit. You know, that old illustration, the Roadrunner cartoon, where they had the little devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. Well, that's not that far off. We hear voices, and many times the voice, because it always sounds like us, we think it's us. But we understand that we hear the voice of the living God, but we can also hear the unclean spirit or the devil, if we can say it like that. So the Bible tells us to, as Jesus, I heard, hear the voice of the good shepherd, the voice of another, I will not answer. And it also tells us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so I hear voices, but that is a spiritual communication that I have. And I also have this body, and in a very basic way. I know I'm talking fast. I'm trying to get the baseline in so everybody can be with me in what I'll share this morning. But my body is, in a very simple way, my earth suit, but not just my earth suit. My body has distinct capacities that affect me and my relationships. I was talking with a professional athlete not long ago, and I shared with them that when the football team is on the field and they are about to have this experience at the end of the game where it is an opportunity for a walk-off win or a walk-off loss, the score is such that the field goal will decide the fate teams that have fought arduously for four quarters. And the field goal kicker comes onto the field, and just before he gets ready to swipe his foot across that ball and kick for the opportunity to win, the other team calls timeout. And there's a reason for that. And in a natural vernacular, people say, well, they're trying to ice the kicker. Okay, well, let me share with you what's really going on. What's really going on is that individual who is the field goal kicker is a whole individual. He is a spirit. He has a soul, and he lives in a physical body. His spirit, the one that has encouraged him, I mean, that is the real him, is connected to who he is and his identity. And his soul, his mind, his will, his emotion, imagination, and his intellect are engaged in, I'm going to do my very best effort to win this game. And his body is not just carrying him out on the field through training and conditioning. His body is a chemical plant, and his body is producing a chemical that would give him extra energy and cause him to function at a very high level. And that when that whistle blows and says it, we're calling a timeout, adrenaline has been pumping through his veins that gives him an extra boost. And when that whistle blows for that timeout, adrenaline was being spent, and it begins to continue to be spent during the timeout, minimizing that boost of energy that that body produced so that he could be successful. And what I'm saying is, through life and through life's experiences, our spirit, our soul, and our body are functioning together, and our awarenesses of that functioning together can be very pivotal in how we respond to life. Now, that big backdrop was for where I'm headed right now, because in my ministry and what I do, I talk to couples all day, every day, in addition to preparing for Sunday morning, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and all the other times that I get to minister. But in these intimate relationships, what I'm finding out is, as I am ministering to women who ask the question, Pastor or Dr. Barnett, how, whatever door they come in and how they refer to me, how do I connect with my husband? How do I connect with him? And that's been a genuine cry, and particularly in a intimate relationship. So for the purpose of this illustration, let's say we're talking about a husband and wife. And what I began to share is a little bit about that whole spirit, soul, and body reality that makes up all of us. And I share that when men are in an intimate relationship, a man has a wife, that there are different activities we engage in over the course of the day where our spirit is listening to the situation and circumstance that we are going through. We are engaging as a spirit because we have to. That's what we are. And his soul is also engaged. And when a man begins to respond to life situations in a negative situation, it's kind of interesting that that operation of complaining negatively produces something in his body called estrogen. And, okay, now this is a spiritual conversation, but if I put my head in the sand and I'm not aware of what the body is doing or what my spirit is doing, then I am at a unfortunate space. And so what happens is when a man, male, M-A-L-E, begins to produce estrogen, it makes him weaker. His physical body, his spirit, soul, and body are designed by God, but estrogen makes him weaker, if I can say it like that, and I can. And we can ask questions and go forward as we move in this program. We've always heard about female hormonal balances, but a male can also have a hormonal imbalance, as they can a female. Men have been designed by God, both physically, spiritually, and in the soul realm, that testosterone makes him more of a man. And I'll explain that as we move forward. But men, they always need their testosterone to be higher than their estrogen to function as God has designed them. That's kind of easy science, if you will. And a man's testosterone levels are on average, a healthy man, 10 times higher than a woman's. And it doesn't just make him stronger physically. And, you know, we'll talk about that. And for a healthy woman, for example, her estrogen levels are 10 times higher than a man. I don't know if I said it properly. A man's testosterone levels are 10 times higher than a woman's, and a woman's estrogen levels are 10 times higher than a man's. And when a woman is in a relationship with a man and they are having an intimate encounter, her estrogen levels need to be 20 times higher than a man's. And a man's, if he's in that intimate encounter, his testosterone levels need to be 20 times higher than a woman's. Now, why is this so important? Because if we don't understand what's going on in our totality, boy, oh boy, we're missing so much of the engagement. So this is what I'm getting at today. When a woman says that a man won't open up to him, her, she is not just saying that he's being closed off intellectually. You know, I talked about the soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my imagination, my intellect. If he's not opening up, that chemical plant on the inside of him is also making an impact, just like the testosterone, you know, on the man on the football field kicking that field goal, that adrenaline, if it's not flowing at the proper level, then he doesn't have all of the advantages that he could. If a man is not operating with the proper levels of testosterone, he doesn't have all of the advantages that he could. And so when we are talking about relationships, how a man operates over the course of the day. Let me tell you what, we have been bombarded with people are just people, and you can do what you want to do, and you're just an intellectual person, and you happen to be in a male or female body. And let me share this, the enemy has been after our identity since we were born. And some people are attacked in their identity before they have awarenesses and some after they have awarenesses. But the enemy knows if he attacks you in that realm of the spirit, it has an impact on your soul and ultimately on your body. And because of our ignorance, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My goodness, time for a wake-up call. So I didn't do the preview for your audience today, Apostle, and ask up, is everybody's grown? And while I will not be out of place, I am going to share things that are of a mature nature in relationship. And that's where people really live. And so if a husband and wife are in a activity in their life that is intimacy, then estrogen goes up for the woman, and testosterone goes up for the man. It's part of the physical plan, that who they are. And it's interesting that nowadays our activities can produce the chemical plants, or they trigger our chemical plants. And so when a man is romancing a woman and he is telling her how beautiful she is and how happy I am that I am married to you and I'm so blessed to have found you. And it might sound like he is buttering her up in the natural realm, but let me tell you what, when he is operating in a way, I'm not just talking about sex and intimacy, but I'm saying that in an intimate relationship, when he is telling her how much he values her, and he is acting in a positive and a probing and a soothing way for her, she's building estrogen. And it's awesome. And when a woman is talking to a man in this intimate relationship, and she says to him things like, that was a good idea, and or that makes sense, or wow, I just want to thank you for fixing that. And it sounds like just talk, but she's not pandering to him. But let me tell you what she's doing. She is engaging him based on how he has been designed by God. And when she engages him at that level, testosterone is being produced, and he becomes more manly. It's part of how we have been designed. When her life is filled by positive messages, she functions in a higher level of estrogen. And when he receives what he needs, he functions in a higher level of testosterone. So coming back to what I introduced, why men don't open up, and for a woman, how do I get my husband to open up? Why don't men open up? Well, the key thing is, men don't need to open up. Men have not been designed to let people in. And I know the psychologists, they might try to shout me down right now, but we can go toe-to-toe with that one and answer some tough questions. But men are not receivers in that regard. They can listen and talk, don't misunderstand. But women are receivers, and they open up. And so when a woman says that he never opens up, I said, well, and he won't engage, he won't talk, and what have you. Tell me how that makes you feel. Tell me how that makes you feel when he never opens up. And nowadays, let me tell you what, there's so much going on. Many times she has kind of pushed what is going on in her life kind of to the sidelines. She knows she doesn't like it, but she doesn't even respond many times on how she feels, because I ask this question with some frequency, because this kind of relationship matter comes up with high frequency. And there's so much that a woman can share, and her sharing and intimacy produces estrogen, and though she makes her feel better. But I'm saying that, my goodness, we've got to get connected to who we are. And so there are things that when she comes into the space of a man, that if she feels it inside, there's things that she might not share with anybody else, and that makes the relationship special. And a man, he's just not designed to just come out like that. And I'm saying he doesn't come out like that because he's not been designed to come out like that. If she wants to find the better man, she's going to have to talk to him in a way that elevates who he is on the inside. And, well, do I have to build his male ego just for him to open up to me? Well, it's not exactly just building his male ego for the sake of building his male ego. But if you want him to be more of a man, you're going to have to treat him like a man and not like a woman. He just doesn't open up. This is a big deal. It's a big deal. You know, and when a man or a woman opens up, let's kind of get to that. You know, I don't just open up to everybody when I'm talking about my wife, or a wife is talking about her husband. I don't open up to what is really on the inside of me, just like I am not naked in just front of in front of just anybody. You know, I don't open up like that because that is private. And if you want to know the real me, then you have to connect with me on a private level. I don't romance every woman because I'm not trying to get her to open up on a private level. That's just reserved for my wife, and I'm reserved for her as her husband. And when I open up, everybody, I mean, if we talk about nakedness, and just as an illustration, my goodness, that's an area of vulnerability. And I'm not willing to be vulnerable around everybody. And so I don't just open up because I need to talk. I don't need to talk. And that's something that a lot of women, I don't need to talk to feel better. Because when I talk, I am potentially vulnerable. And so I need to be in an intimate situation in order for me to talk. My goodness. And I'm saying about husbands and wives being special to each other. We need to understand that we have been bombarded by a system of communication in this earth realm that has taken us down a pathway that is not consistent with what God has. And so, for example, into my illustration about the intimacy between a man and a woman, it's important that I understand that how much the private areas of my life have to do with my identity. I only have an intimate relationship with someone who really loves me. And so for me to just talk, I have to be in a loving situation. And as I'm married, that's why I don't have sex with everybody. And I feel like I'm all over the place. I'm trying to get you to a place where you're understanding what I'm trying to say. It takes a while to get to this level of conversation in with a couple that is in for counseling or something like that. But my goodness, when we can really talk about what's really going on in their lives, then we can talk about true communication for them. And so I use the illustration of I don't have sex with everybody because I'm not intimate with everybody, and people have lost their awareness of how to be intimate in these days. And people, I mean, sex has been so thrown around in the images that we see on television, in the images that we even get on our phones nowadays, there's been a desensitization on both men and women on what intimacy really is, because people are talking about everything everywhere. This is what I'm trying to say also. If a man has a life that is filled with activity that triggers the production of estrogen, then he is weaker or less manly when it is time to be intimate with his wife. And it affects all of him. It affects how he thinks, how he interacts, and his physical performance. And for a woman who is engaged in activity for the course of a day that produces testosterone, it doesn't make her a man, but it makes her less responsive based on how God has designed her as a woman. And so a man has to shift in terms of building testosterone in order to be intimate and have a intimate conversation and relationship with his wife. And sometimes that hill is too hard to climb. And for a woman, you know, she's has had to engage in a level of decision making and power brokering over the course of the day. And she was a woman all day, but she was producing testosterone all day, and she has to separate. It used to be that the man always had to come home and be in the man cave. And now I'm hearing women talk about a she shed. they have to come back to a balanced level where they can then engage in the roles of being a wife or even being a husband. Let me say this also, that this whole area of intimacy and communication has been, you know, in this society that we live in, it's been chipped away because the whole adventure in sex with regard to monogamy. The world has chipped away at the value of monogamy because a non-monogamous relationship, it makes your sex life or your real communication not special. Intimacy was reserved for the covenant of a man and a woman in marriage. And people who are single say that's not fair, but that's God. And physical intimacy is reserved for a covenant relationship, covenant of male relation, male-female relationship. And when the whole heartbeat of monogamy is stressed, drained, and put underfoot, then the whole idea of being intimate with someone other than my spouse, it cheapens the relationship. You know, sex feels good, no matter who you have it with, perhaps, but it cheapens the relationship if it's not with one person. That's a broken covenant. Going against the word of God, that's dividing your spirit. And the biblical foundation for that we find in 1 Corinthians 6, where is it, what, know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take the member of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. That whole area of intimate communication is designed for one person over the course of your life, and that's a pastor, you're caught in the old ages. No, I'm caught in God. There's a reason for the guidelines that the Word of God has put together, but because this stuff is not taught, people say, well, you're just a prude, and this is today, and that was for yesterday. What I'm saying is that your spirit, your soul, and your body have been designed to function at optimum levels, and God has given us guidelines in the Word of God to keep them functioning at optimum levels. The whole level, the whole area of being monogamous was so that we could have a high level of intimacy with a man and a woman that was spirit, soul, and body. Not just have sex for the sake of having sex or intimacy for the sake of having intimacy. That's why people ought not share too much of their business with strangers, because that intimate relationship affects your spirit, your soul, and your body. Well, how can I get close to somebody if I don't share that information? Well, that's kind of another conversation, but there are boundaries. There are boundaries for modesty. There are boundaries for intimacy so that husbands and wives can function together as one. One can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. We have been designed to reserve intimate energy for our spouse. And if men and women, husbands and wives, can begin to see that their energy is a gift, just like cash, and I reserve my intimacy, if you will, my energy for my wife, that's my gift to her. That's what works. And I, when I give her my energy, I give her my love, then she can then experience more of me and love me more. Love me back. And when she can feel safe and nobody else is going to take away her energy or has access to her energy, it makes her feel more safe and more whole. And so I don't give my money away to everybody. It's a covenant opportunity. I don't give money away to a bunch of strangers. Then there's none left for my wife. Then that's not, you know, that's not good. It doesn't make her feel good at all for me to share my money or my energy with someone else. And understand, I'm talking about money, but my energy is for my wife. In the area of money, let me clean that up right quick, because I don't just have to give my wife my money and then share after her. It's not sex. I don't give it to her and then share sex after her. But when it comes to sex and intimacy, I don't give to us others, because it's a precious, sacred force reserved exclusively for my wife. That energy or that force that I give to my wife, it can, in our younger years, if I could say it like that, make babies, but it can also regenerate us together. My goodness, I'm all over the place, Apostle, but I'm headed to a good location.
Oh, man, take your time. That's good.
I'm just saying, the intimate relationship has not been taught, and that's why I'm trying to be careful, and so I know that I might be going into maybe deeper than you thought, but that intimate relationship between a husband and wife has been attacked, and nobody's talking about it. So I thought that I would bring it out today with respect to the spirit, soul, and the body, the estrogen and testosterone, because we never talk about this stuff. And there has been a thought that has gone through the land that has been sold by professionals that when a woman reaches a certain age, she just has no more interest in sex and intimacy. And a man, if he does have interest beyond a certain point, well, all men are dogs. And that's kind of what and I've heard Christians talk about that when none of what they're saying is based in the Word of God. It is 100% based in the soul realm, and because the soul impacts the flesh and that physical plant, if she doesn't produce estrogen, then it affects, just like the body when it is hungry, it triggers, you need to act on it and go eat something. If the body has that trigger, then it produces activity in the area of the mind, the will, the emotions, the imagination, and the intellect. If that trigger that is spiritual is not there for husband and wife for true intimacy, then they don't talk like they talk. Well, they're married, and they're partners. That word goes around a lot. And they, you know, pay the same. They pay the bills. They get their names work on the checks and all those kinds of stuff. But intimacy is gone, and that's what the enemy was after all along. When the Word of God tells us in Genesis chapter 2, and they two shall be one flesh, everybody's like, oh, wow, come on, Pastor, you going there? Yes, because to the degree that we function as one, we represent the true power of God. Every activity that we refuse to participate in or have marginalized, that it is no longer significant for us, it detracts from our capacity of functioning as one. And all of the ladies says, he's such a man, he just wants sex. No, that ain't what I'm saying at all. Let me say, tell you this. When you make love, and I said make love, we use that expression, everybody talks about making love, and then if you get to intellect, well, you don't really make love, you express love. Well, I beg to differ. That there is some merit to the phrase making love. When you make love, you remain connected, very connected, because that is reserved for intimacy. And then life and living has the effect of distancing. So we make love, connecting and having vibrancy, and then just living, it kind of it dissipates. You know, just like you put gas in your car and you drive, well, the dissipating of the gas is not a abnormal thing. It just happens because you keep driving the car. You keep going by and seeing different things. You go far enough, you need to get more gas because it gives you the vibrancy and the capacity to go further. And when a man or husband and wife have intimate conversation, which is being sorely attacked in the day, and they are no longer intimate physically, it affects everything. It affects everything. So when they make love, and let me tell you what, I know some folk, some are shouting me down and some are saying amen right now. But when we give our intimacy, our potency to each other, we vitalize each other. We either establish covenant through physical intimacy or an emotional intimacy, or we ratify physical intimacy, covenant, through coming together. That's why over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. And everybody said, fornication, see, he's talking about sex. Folks, you got to do your Bible homework. That word fornication is not talking about sex outside of marriage. And I know that it is that, but the true word comes from the Greek word porneia. And porneia is not the foundation word for pornography. Fornication, porneia, is literally translated into idol worship. Come on now. Nevertheless, to avoid idol worship, thou shalt have no other God before me. Let every husband render unto his wife due benevolence. That's physical sexual intimacy, if you didn't know that. And likewise, the wife also to her husband render or to draw out. That's called making love. And it is not for the purpose of we can just have more sex and we can just be more physical. It's so that they can function as one as God had intended. And, oh, man, I'm opening doors that I don't know if I can shut in the time that we have. But, and it also says, and the wife not have not power of her own body. And all of the women who have been convinced that sex is just for my youth and I just don't feel like it anymore. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you feel like eating? And for the men who say, well, you know, and men generally say, I don't know if we're grown enough for this, but men generally say, we don't have to do all that anymore. That was for our youth when they don't feel like they can perform anymore. I guarantee you, if he could perform physically, then he would not say, well, I don't need that anymore. That's just something, that's not a big deal anymore. I'm more mature than that. I'm not talking about maturity in terms of chronological age. I'm talking about a covenant communication and supporting one another that has been given by God for a spiritual reason, not just the physical, but because we haven't understood the spiritual, we push it aside and we have become less than modest and we have become all these things that the world accepts as okay when we don't realize that we're siphoning off our energy and not rebuilding our energy and our intimacy, and we're not coming together. And most people have not been taught about the spiritual side of sex and intimacy and communication and being intimate, and so they don't value it. They don't see it. And then they fall in the same traps and pitfalls that the world falls in, and we wonder why we are just like the world. So if you're out there loving the world, drained, and the thing that you have been given by God to replenish you and bring back vitality, it is no longer a part of your life because you have bought the world's goods. And it's kind of interesting. And the world, oh, man. It's almost like the world owns the instruction and education on intimacy when it was the Lord who invented the body to function like it does. It was the Lord who invented sex like it is. It was the Lord who gave all of the capacities through sex and intimacy in relationship. It's the Lord who seamlessly blended the spirit, the soul, and the body to function as one. The Son got the Holy Spirit function as one. But my people are destroyed through a lack of knowledge. And so when I don't understand what's going on in the spirit realm concerning sex and intimacy, then we're just intellectual people. And when I don't understand what the body is crying out for, I don't engage in the activities in my intellectual arena or in the spiritual arena that build in the chemical plant that is my body, either estrogen or testosterone, so that I can have all of the things that God has prepared for me. And so, for example, oh, man, so... Okay, I'm not frustrated. My mind is just racing, and I'm trying to do my best by the audience. Listen, I'm not just a man over here quoting scripture so I can have more sex. I'm trying to share that we're not just physical beings, and our physical being is not just functioning by how I am thinking. That's why the enemy has blinded the minds of them that they believe not the glorious gospel. Let me tell you what. This stuff is never taught in a balanced scriptural way. And that's why most men and women in the church have been taught, well, they've been taught that sex is just for, some have been taught sex is just for children, everybody, producing children. Everybody knows better than that. Everybody knows better than that. Well, I hope that they would. If not, we have another class or another time when we need to have another conversation. And most men and women have not learned about sex and intimacy. And, oh, God forbid, we talk about physical fulfillment in church. That's rated X stuff. Well, the enemy has been successful in saying that's my arena, and the church bought it because they have not been educated by the Word of God. And so when men don't know how to engage a woman to elevate her estrogen, it's the woman, the wife says, you only talk to me when you want sex. You only open up to me or are intimate with me. And so he's doing the things that produce estrogen, and she believes that she's being manipulated. Well, that's when the world has come in and taken over. And if she begins to butter him up because she has a need, oh, see, you, there you go. You're trying to get me in bed, all that kind of stuff. I've heard men say that, and I'm shaking my head wondering, how did the world get upside down like this? And so I'm saying that we have not learned. And let me give you this. Can I quote some scripture for you? My goodness. You know, when we quote, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, we keep talking about faith. We need to be talking about communication and every other thing that is going on. And so when, particularly in the area of intimacy and emotional opening up for men and women, men need to learn how to engage their wives so that they will open up, is telling her that I'm so glad. Oh, man, I'm so glad that you're my wife. You're pretty as the sunshine. Glory be to God. Ladies, he's not just buttering you up. Let me tell you what he's doing. He has, in a way, tapped into how you have been designed by God, and he doesn't know it like that. And let me do a little scripture reading. And I'm going to, this is out of, and I'm going to, if I can, I'm opening my Bible, folks, for this morning. I hope that you are not bored with me. And in my Bible, in the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 4, the Lord, through Solomon, talking to Shulamith, his wife, is engaging in intimacy. But this is not the physical wham, bam, thank you, ma'am stuff. And this is not just her feeling sorry for him and giving him a few minutes a month so that he can just be a man. This is designed and in the Word of God so that men and women can function as intended. But it's not taught so that people don't know it. Let me just read the Bible for just a second. In Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse number 1, this is Solomon talking. He says, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. You know, if I'm going to translate along the way so that we can get the maximized time out of this. He said, baby, you're so pretty. you're so pretty, my love. And then he uses the terms of his days. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats. Now, the women of the day, that might not sound right to you. But let me tell you what. He is admiring her hairdo. And what is he doing? He's producing estrogen. Now, this is an intimate encounter. He is admiring her and said, well, Pastor, that's kind of superficial. I'm reading the Bible. And he is engaging her in the spirit realm, knowing that this is his covenant bride. He is engaging her in a realm of the soul, mind, will, emotions, imagination, and intellect, and in the body, because when I engage you in these realms, your body is impacted. We're going to find that out in Scripture if we'll just read it. He said, thou hast dove's eyes between thy locks. He's looking at her hair, and he is mesmerized. And as a flock of goats that come up, that appear. Now, if you imagine that, she got her hair done. She has curls in her hair, and he is admiring her. Verse 2, thy teeth are like a flock of sheep, even shorn. She's got white teeth, and he's saying, your white teeth turn me on, baby. that come up from the washing, every one bearing twins, and there's none bearing among barren among them. Her smile is beautiful to him. Now, understand, when he's doing this, he's building testosterone in his admiration of her, and she's building estrogen for an intimate encounter. Watch this, verse 3. Her lips are like a thread of scarlet. Her lips are like a thread of scarlet. Everybody know that scarlet is red? I thought women weren't supposed to wear makeup. Well, this is the Bible before people came in with the puritanical laws and said women should not wear makeup. And I'm not saying that a woman should. I said she can. And his woman was wearing makeup in this regard, and he was admiring her. We also know, I don't want to get into all that, but that she was a black woman. And that's not to say that she was a woman. I want to say she's black in this regard, because when he talks about the color of her lips, that was not a color that she had from birth when he said, "My lips are like scarlet." She put on the scarlet. And then watch this. "Thy speech is comely." She wasn't a cussing woman. She had pleasant speech. She wasn't fussing at him, because when she fusses at him and he fusses back, it elevates testosterone in him and he's less of a man. But when her speech is comely to him, then he builds testosterone. "Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate." There goes that color in her temples again. "Within thy locks." So she has put it on for him. Watch this. "Thy neck is like a tower of David, builded for an armory." Come on now. Your neck was designed to hold these fine necklaces that I am about to put on you. He says in here, "Whereupon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men." My goodness. "Thy two breasts are like two rows." Oh, Pastor, don't go in that area. I'm reading the Bible. But we've not taught this, and so that men and women in relationship, they've not had the benefit of the spiritual, biblical background of a power of intimacy. Well, that's just for the young folk. I beg to differ. "Thy two breasts are like two rows that bear twins that feed among the lilies. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense." Again, this might be a little bit too mature for some folk. But he is sharing here that when we are engaging in this level of intimacy, that there is a scent to intimacy that arouses him. And I'm not going to go far down. We could get in there. I said in many meetings, I'm a lot of things, but shy ain't one of them. But particularly when I am sharing the word of God in the area of marriage and relationship and intimacy, I can't afford to be shy, because the people leave with nothing. The people leave with nothing. And so this is not that class. You know, we can have a class on intimacy if you want, in terms of the physical intimacy, because most men and most women, they didn't learn intimacy from the word of God perspective. It was always something that was worldly. And I can demonstrate, not just through the Song of Solomon, that physical intimacy was never designed to be worldly. That's why the Lord said, "And they two shall be one flesh." And we're so spiritually minded that we don't even understand. Why did he say one flesh? Why didn't he say they will come together in the spirit? I'm talking about Genesis chapter 2. He said no, because when they come together in the flesh, there is a spiritual connection. And because we have not come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, if we have not heard the word of God on these matters, then faith in those areas did not come. And so we have been spiritually immature in the area of intimacy and physical fulfillment, because we've not been taught it from a biblical perspective. And when we have been taught it from a worldly perspective, the worldly perspective is designed to siphon off energy. That's why the worldly perspective talks about you don't have to be that modest. And women and men, they are sharing intimacy with non-covenant partners, and they have no idea that that is siphoning off their vitality and their spirit. It's crazy. It's crazy. So I applaud you, Apostle, for having this kind of forum in terms of spiritual, was a relationship Friday. Amen. I do a relationship Thursday myself, yeah. So it's every day of the week. And we really need to be talk about some things. These are powerful messages that if they are not shared from a biblical perspective, then we're left for the world to fill in the blanks, and nobody's laughing but the devil. My goodness. Now, there's so much. I don't know where to I tried to sell a little package there, but I can share more, or Bishop, I can certainly answer questions, and perhaps you want to have me clear up some things that maybe you heard or talk about them in a little more detail.
Well, I got a question also, and I know that there's some people listening with this question. How do you know that the person is for you? What are some of the signs? Because I know some people may be looking to get married, not married, but they think it's the right person. How do they identify if it's the right person or not?
Generally, we marry or when. Okay, now that's the other end of the spectrum. When we are looking to marry, the person that we are looking for, or we know that it can be the right person when they share the same values as we have, because our covenant relationship is built on a covenant of God. And say, well, you know, should I be interested in an unbeliever? Well, how can two walk together unless they first be agreed? And I'm sharing that there has to be, okay, now this is a very interesting question because certainly there can be, if you will, an arranged marriage where we covenant together by arrangement and by capacities and compatibilities, and we come together and we elevate each other through that arrangement. That's back in the days when it was more of a business deal. But because the man and the woman, they bought into it, their spirit, soul, and body began to participate in the covenant, and it worked. Nowadays, we don't have arranged marriages so much, but they are marriages of agreement. And so it has to work for both of us. I have to see myself with you and have to believe that my life is better with you, and all of the evidence that I am better with you begins to be a part of what knits us together and causes us to be one. And so I need to be aware that there are no red flags waving, that you're not cheating me. You don't mean any ill will for me. I am putting you first, and you are putting me first, next to God, of course, because I have God first in my life. My wife comes first after that. And my wife is safe because of my relationship with the Lord. She's not safe just because I'm a man. She's safe because I have a relationship with the Lord. And those who don't have a relationship, well, you know, we got good people that don't know God. Okay. Hang in there, Tiger. Hang. If your confidence is based on the human will, then the human will is where your confidence will remain for the rest of your life. But when your confidence is there based on a God covenant, then I believe that that has more tensile strength. And I hope I've gone in the right direction, Apostle, with your question. How do I know that it's the right one? There has to be natural compatibilities, and there has to be an agreement that we're going to function as one on top of that.
Wow, that's good. That's good. That's good. And so basically, and especially with intimacy, that's like you said, that's something that both sides has to work on. Both sides has to work on that to actually have the kind of intimacy that we know that, as you're talking about, the scripture says that we ought to have. So we both have to work on both sides, on ourselves, actually, is what I'm saying.
Well, exactly. Okay. Again, most, and this is just the way it is, most men and women in the world, and I dare say pastors and first ladies, they didn't learn about sex and intimacy through a doorway or information pathway that was biblical. Not at all. The church and the people who taught them about sex and intimacy probably didn't know it themselves about the God connection, and I can't teach what I don't know. And this has been buried so that it never reaches the pulpit. Well, we don't talk about that. And, that's private. Well, my relationship with the Lord is private. And because, and I'm saying it like this, Apostle, for this reason, that if I just go into a room where there are Christian men and women and say, y'all need to have more sex together. Oh, Pastor Barnett, he's so worldly. And all of their expressions of what physical sexual intimacy mean, because it's been taught by the world, they're convinced being worldly, but they've never been taught the spiritual benefits. I liken, okay, now you got to go with me on this one, and I can prove it biblically, and we can have another conversation, but when a husband and wife come together for physical intimacy, it is as holy as communion, partaking of the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a communion. And we didn't have communion just once so that we could be connected to God. The reason we have communion again and again and again, I'm talking about on the first Sunday, if that's your frequency, or if you're in my church, we have communion every Sunday, because communion, the coming together like that, it ratifies the covenant and reestablishes that we are one. And so we've been taught more about communion on Sunday morning. Hopefully we've been taught about it, all of the benefits, and we continue to take it so that we operate as one with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, intimacy. And physical intimacy was given to mankind in the earth realm to generate covenant awareness and covenant capacities. And so if I have been taught that it's just physical, and oh, you don't need that, and you're at a certain age. Well, when we were young, yes, but now, Pastor, let me tell you what. We've been sold a bag of goods, and we bought it, and it hasn't been challenged. And the reason I'm challenging it now, from a biblical perspective, is because in these last days, if we don't have the capacity that has been designed for us to walk in, 1,000 a flight and 10,000 a flight, then we're just partners. And I don't want to say that's a minor role, but we turn our backs on the power that we could have by functioning as one in each of those arenas. I have a joke that I tell on, and you may have heard it before, but they were having a relationship conference at the church, and they were talking about sex and intimacy, and some of the women who were in their 40s and 50s, they had been married for a period of time, and they were saying together that I just don't feel like I don't feel like having sex with my husband, and he just needs to understand, and I just lost that desire and feeling some time ago, and I do it because I know he needs it. You know, they've been sold that. And so there was an elderly woman in the church, and she had been raised in a different generation, and so they thought that they would get some more information from her regarding this intimate area. And so when the men had left the room during the recess, they went up to her and they said, "Mother, I know you've been married. What do you and have been married for what now? 60 years?" And she said, "Yes, baby, we've been married 60 years." Now she said, "Well, okay." They came together. They said, "Well, When did you begin to, and we want to be sensitive, don't be too crass, but when did you notice a lack of desire for sexual fulfillment in your marriage relationship? And she said, baby, you're going to have to ask somebody older than me. The whole idea was the woman had not been raised in a generation where she had learned that it was something that was just flesh. And because she hadn't learned that it was just flesh, her body had not stopped responding to just a fleshly sensory realm for intimacy. And she was just, you know, watch this in scripture. Oh, man. Bishop, Apostle, we can go on this. But remember when God told Abraham that he was going to have a baby with Sarah. Now, this is not Bible study, but I'm quoting scripture that you know. Or I'm going there, then, and we can go to the scripture. But Sarah was in the other tent, and she laughed. She laughed. And I don't know if she laughed because Abraham was old or that she was old, but she laughed. But then she said this, and the scripture records, shall I have pleasure in my old age? Sarah didn't have a negative emotional response to physical fulfillment with her husband. And apparently there were here and there, now and then, Sarah and Abraham came together for physical intimacy, and she found in her expression, shall I have pleasure in my old age? Will she have pleasure to have even a baby at her age? We never talk about those scriptures from that perspective. We only talk about Sarah was doubting, but we find out different in the book of Hebrews because it says Sarah herself gained strength believing in God. Well, she had to believe in God for physical sexual intimacy in order to believe God for Isaac. It's too much of the word of God that has not been preached, and particularly in this area.
Wow. That's good. That's good. Man, I just got a text from someone, and they're asking, how can I get my husband to desire me more, is what they're asking.
Oh, that's an awesome question. Many times men, if they have been exposed to testosterone siphoning lifestyles, and that's a whole different conversation, then they are functioning in shame with regard to being attracted to their wives, because then performance anxiety comes in. And so rather than say, honey, I need your help in coming to the place where we can be physically, sexually intimate, they say, or they pretend, and they are legitimate in their lack of, they try to shut down that whole arena, and it's really a cover story. And I hope I'm right on the right path. And so let me cover it from a couple of different vantage points. One is they are no longer able to physically perform because testosterone is not at a sufficient level where they can believe that they can satisfy their wife. And so they push down the attraction level, because if we get attracted enough and we spend enough time in that arena, then I may have to perform. And so for a woman, one of the things that she needs to do is she needs to begin to have the conversations that build up her husband. When she builds him up, she builds up testosterone. And if there has been a sufficient lifestyle of health, even, hopefully she keeps herself together and is made to look attractive, because men are driven by sight. And that's a whole different area of conversation. But and he loves her, but he does not attract it to her. Well, then performance anxiety altogether. Let's get rid of the whole area of he has to perform, and they learn how to engage in physical sexual intimacy where penetration and ejaculate, like, okay, we got a grown-up conversation, I can't sidestep some things, are not the goal, but intimacy is the goal. And if we begin to do those things, then we produce estrogen for her so that she begins, her body begins to function. A woman's body is absolutely able to respond, and I don't want to get too graphic here, but respond to intimacy well beyond menopause. Her adrenal glands can produce enough estrogen so that she her body functions properly to receive a man. And a man has been sold a bag of goods in this generation that he cannot perform. I've got men who are in their 30s, and they are not being able to perform, and so they reject women at a level because I don't need all that. And it's a big lie because their bodies have been lost to ignorance. But here's the good news. Just like Jesus said, return unto me and I'll return unto you, the man and the woman's body can be restored. And I'm talking about the body today, and so I'm not just boiling it down to sex, which that's just where I started this morning. But when a man and a woman come together and they are really transparent between each other, and they learn how to come together, and that's got to be retaught, because the only instructor they had in the intimate relationship has been the devil. And so they can learn intimacy, not sex, but intimacy through the Word of God with a proper teacher. And I know that's sketchy, my goodness. But for a woman, what she needs to do, and let me kind of baseline that question, is do whatever she can do to remove performance anxiety so that he can engage her at a natural physical level and appreciate her beauty and respond to her beauty and without fear of not measuring up. That's true intimacy.
Wow,
and now that has to be learned. And so, you know, the good news is that medical science has also recognized that men are not producing enough testosterone, and they've come out with, pills and other things to help. And women have not been able to function with regard to their physical arousal, and they've come up with estrogen therapy and all those kinds of things. And that's the world giving you a problem and then giving you an answer. But let me tell you what, a man and a woman can be restored to vitality without the chemicals, but they have to learn it from the Word of God, and they have to have a level of intimacy with emotional intimacy for the body to produce the chemicals necessary for them to respond in the flesh. And if they do, they can be – remember what the Bible tells us about Moses. He said his eyes – the Bible says his eyes didn't grow dim, nor – did his natural forces abate? What do you think that means?
Sure.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. And so the unfortunate thing is because the – and I applaud you, Apostle, because the church has not embraced this conversation enough, we continue to walk in ignorance, and we continue to walk in darkness, and nobody's laughing but the devil.
Wow, man, this has been so good, so good. And
amen.
It is very needful, man, in the body of Christ, because and just like you were saying, also, has adopted a lot of the world's ways, man. And they're doing things that the world does. But you know, as we're taught, you know, you can't get your stuff from the world. You got to get it from the book. You
that's
have
exactly
to get it
right.
from the Word of God. You know, you can't do it like that. And I think that's why we have a big, huge divorce rate in the church, man. You know, and
absolutely,
you know, it's just so needed right here. So needed.
Because the church has been taught about relationship from the world, and they have come together, and that's, you know, and that's a whole different conversation in terms of, but the enemy is ultimately after the identity of the man or the identity of the woman. That's what he's ultimately after. We were made in the image and likeness of God, and all of the, you know, the scripture tells us that the serpent was more subtle than all of the beasts of the field. He didn't just say, turn your back on being the vitality of a man that God has designed you to be. He just encouraged you to participate in activity that didn't build testosterone or to cause a woman to, well, you know, if you would be more like a man, you'd have more power, not knowing that her functioning in high levels of testosterone were detractors to her physical body and her emotional and spiritual person. It was subtle. Let me tell you what, you drink enough poison, you'll get sick.
That's so true. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is so true. That is so true. And I think I think my wife had a comment here.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Good morning.
Good morning.
This was an awesome session. And it's so funny. I'm laughing with my husband because every time I think of something to ask you within your explanation, you've already answered my question. So that's why I didn't come out so much, because I'm like, he answered it. He answered it in the explanation. So it was just awesome this morning. Yeah, we need a lot more of this teaching. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You know, the scripture in Proverbs 23:7, I can quote it. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that's why the enemy, through the assault on identity, has been so, it's been like a full court press in terms of the man and the woman's identity as a man or a woman, the man and a woman's identity as a member of the body of Christ. It's been an assault on identity, and it's like the body of Christ didn't know that my spirit is being connected, because if I'm identifying with the world in what are spiritual areas, then my energy in the spirit realm in terms of my faith toward God is siphoned off. If I am participating in activities as a man that produce estrogen all day, no wonder I can't perform as a man at night, if you will, or man in the morning, because my energy has been siphoned off. I'm just saying, it's been so subtle that everybody's participating in this life draining or life siphoning off of power and capacity, and we're wondering why we're powerless.
Wow. Wow. That's just like Sessa said, you know, you cut my hair, I'll become as powerless as any, I'll become
That's
as
right.
weak as any other man. Wow.
That's, and watch this. And his hair was his covenant. He was a Nazirite. And when he broke covenant with the Lord, he became powerless.
Wow.
And just like Samson's hair grew back, the power of men and women can come back. And I'm talking about, listen. I know we've scratched the surface, folks, on what we could be talking about today. But what I'm trying to say is there's a way back to wholeness for men and women, particularly husbands and wives. But for women, I mean, both have been lied to. Women have been lied to, well, you know, I know you don't want to, but he needs it. And so because he needs it, you know, throw him a bone every once in a while, and it'll keep your marriage relationship held. I've heard this from church folk. Just as ignorant, just, I mean, that's That's just, I can't think of something more ignorant to say than it's just for your husband because he needs it. When the scripture tells us to deny or to defraud yourselves, not one another, except it be for time that you give yourselves to prayer and fasting. That was dealing with a woman who understood that her desire for her husband was healthy and holy, and she was empowered through that exchange, and her husband didn't get to say no. This thing is, what does the scripture tell us in Ecclesiastes?
Wow.
He said, I see something, I see men, I see rulers on foot, and I see fools on horseback. This thing has been turned upside down.
Wow, man, this has made so much sense, doctor, I tell you, you know, and, you know, it is something that, and I believe it's something that a lot of churches don't like to touch, you know, and we got to go way past that, man. We got to go way past that.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not to cut you off, Apostle, but the reason that churches don't like to touch this is because they don't know.
Wow.
They don't have this information. You can't get up and preach what you don't know. Too many preachers, and this is not an indictment against the church, but they've not studied the Word of God. They study somebody else's message.
Mm.
And if I only study what somebody else is preaching, I can only preach what they preach.
Wow.
I've got to study the Word of God.
Man, makes so much sense. So much sense, man. And I really thank God for you there, doctor. I really do, you know, because this has been, man, I tell you, I've learned a whole lot from this myself. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
I learned a whole lot. And, you know, we certainly thank God for you. I know we got some people on this morning, but, it's just a season like me and my wife is trying to actually we're doing more ourselves, you know, after we just celebrated our 26th anniversary this year. And,
congratulations.
Yes, thank you. And we take, you know, Fridays is our day, you know, we spend mm-hmm. time together every Friday. We, you know, it's our date night, you know, on Friday. So we pick a day. And that's just our time to just, you know, do what we want to do and just hang out, you know, just hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Man, thank God for you there, people of God, you know, this was awesome. Praise God. And we thank you all
Amen.
For joining us. And we know that, that God is a restorer and, we're going to have another one.
Yeah,
people,
that's right.
We're going to have another one, and we're going to go deeper into some stuff. And my goal, people of God, is to be able to have such an anointing that flows from the church that it turns things around, man. It turns this thing around with divorce mm-hmm. so that people can see the kingdom of God through us. You know, that mm-hmm. that we, you know, as we're taught, you can't live too close to the world because you'll get infected by the world. So we don't want to live too close to that. So we want to give you the tools that you need to be successful in Christ so that mm-hmm. people can see a kingdom relationship through you. Not an earthly
That's right.
relationship, but a kingdom relationship. And you can develop a relationship that others would want to mimic. They would want to
That's right.
Have that same kind of relationship. That's us leading, leading praise
yeah,
God.
Yeah, that they would be provoked to jealousy.
Come on. Praise mm-hmm. God. Praise God.
Yes,
and
sir.
We so thank God for you, man. And we know that we pray God's grace and favor on your life every single day, that everything that you desire
Amen.
All comes out and comes to pass. Amen.
I appreciate people, that. I appreciate yeah. that.
People
yeah,
of God.
I,
mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that when we return to God, he returns unto us.
Wow.
And many times people, they, particularly in the area of intimate relationships, husband and wife, and we can talk about, you know, we could have gone down the pathway of singles and those relationships. We just, you know, can't do it all in one session, if you will. But when we return to God and return to his value system, we'll find that life is just plain easier in every respect.
Yes.
But we need to know the word of God. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. He said, my people, the ones whom I love, they're experiencing difficulty because they don't know enough.
Wow.
But we got to teach the word.
My God. In season and out of season. Teaching the word all the time. Praise God. People of God, we so enjoyed you on today here on Keith Williams Morning Show. We're coming to you every morning at 7 a.m. from 7 to 8. And we thank God for you joining us here on Relationship Friday. And we will be with you again on Monday morning at 7 a.m. But as we leave, enjoy this song that is called Waymaker. And we will see you again on Monday morning. Hang on there, Pastor. Don't hang up, sir. Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Every heart, I worship you, oh Lord. working. You'll never stop. You'll never stop working.